Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see us all here this morning. Well, we have a holiday coming up. You know, it's a lot of people talking about Thanksgiving next weekend, next Thursday. What got me thinking about this lesson wasn't necessarily the holiday coming up, but the talk about it. I was listening to the radio. Those who know me know that I do that for a living. I listen to the radio for a living. And I heard a morning show, and there was probably six people in this morning show. It was back in Milwaukee or something. But they were talking about the upcoming holiday weekend and talking about, they said, you know, let's have a little gathering of Friendsgiving. That's been a popular term lately, Friendsgiving. Not really sure why, but it's, I guess if Thanksgiving involves your family, but if you want to get together for Thanksgiving with just your friends, then it's a Friendsgiving. But they were talking about this on this morning show and they said, what are you thankful for? So they went around the room, and each person in this morning show each told the things that they were thankful for. And they were thankful for their home and their family. They were thankful for their dog. They were thankful for, you know, the food on their plate. They were thankful for everybody went around the room, and they were all talking about what they were thankful for. And they talked for about 15 minutes. And what stood out to me was there was not one mention of God. You know, they're thankful. But who are you thankful to? Who are you thankful for all the things that you have? They're thankful. They're grateful. They use the word grateful too. Well, I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. But nobody ever said the word God. And I just thought, how can you be thankful if you're not thankful to the source? You know, you can be grateful for all the things, but who are you grateful to? And that got me thinking about this. And so I want to talk about what it means to give thanks. And I want to start with a passage that's not on here, but if you want to read with me, in Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11, this is talking about Jesus. He says, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. When you read this, you can't help but realize that, you know, leprosy is a disease in which there is no cure. Except for Jesus. Jesus cured them. Jesus cured all 10 of them. But only one out of the 10 turn back to give thanks. Now, it doesn't say that the other 9 were in sin. It never mentions that. They did what they were told. They were told to go and show themselves to the priest. They were on their way. But only 1 out of 10 turned back and gave thanks for what he'd been given. What he'd been given was something that nobody else could give him. And when you stop and think about that and apply that to John 3 in verse 16, that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus cured us from something that there was no cure for, sin. Sin is a lot like leprosy. There's no cure, but there's forgiveness. And that's what Jesus offers us through obedience to his will. But the thing about giving thanks is, how many of us are going to turn back and give thanks for that? You know, we obey the gospel. We believe, you know, we hear the gospel. We believe what we're told. We confess his name before men. We repent of our sins and we're baptized into Christ. But then do we just go our way and, you know, our ticket's punched? We don't have anything else to do? No. We need to give thanks for that. That's something that we are told so many times, that God expects us to be thankful. God expects us to give thanks to him. He is the source. And as we look at this, this passage, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Those exact words in that order are found 6 times in Scripture. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Now you might find, oh, give thanks, or something before or after that. But those words in those exact order are found in Scripture 6 times. That's how important it is. Repetition is the key to education. And we're learning, as we put our nose in the book, what do we learn? We learn that He expects us to give thanks. These are my words, but this is the best way I can phrase it. Let us take a deep breath and give it and use it to give thanks and praise to the God of our salvation for the gift of His beloved Son, Jesus, by whose blood we are redeemed and in whose name we have hope of everlasting life. These are the things we need to give thanks to. You know, we're told so many times in Scripture to pray, but what are the words coming out of our mouth when we're praying? Number one, give thanks. Be grateful for what we have, because every day is Thanksgiving Day. If you're a follower of Christ, every day is Thanksgiving Day. It's not just next Thursday. Next Thursday is a national holiday. One of the presidents made it that way. It had been a national tradition before it became a national holiday. But the thing is, if you're a Christian, every day should be Thanksgiving Day. Every hour, every breath, every heartbeat, every second is a gift from God. So let us use His gifts to praise, honor, and glorify Him. This is part of our understanding and part of our humility before God, is understanding that He is the creator of all things and we're part of that creation. He made us. He created us. And I've said this before up here, that time is our greatest gift. God gives us time. God invented time and He invented it for us. So when we think about our life and we say every hour, every breath, every heartbeat, well, as we get older, we start thinking about that more often. You know, Floyd, I'm so glad Floyd, 93 years old. And, you know, doesn't look a day over 80. But the thing is, you know, as we get older, we start recognizing this more and more often that, you know, I should be thankful for every heartbeat. God knows, you know, God knows every hair on my head, and they're getting thinner all the time. But God knows every heartbeat. God is very familiar with us. He created us. And we should be thankful for every breath, every heartbeat, every second that we get, and use the time that He's given us to do what He said, which is to be grateful and to be thankful for what He's given us. We give thanks. Look at all the passages. Psalm 97, verse 12. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to His holy name. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. So not only giving thanks to the Lord, but telling about Him. Telling other people, why am I thankful to God? Because of all that He's done for me. Specifically, He gave me His Son. He sacrificed His Son on the cross to give me the hope of everlasting life. I need to be thankful for that. Psalm 50, verse 23, He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving is honoring God. If we want to honor Him and show our honor and praise to Him, then we need to give thanks. Psalm 69, verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. We sang praises to Him this morning, and we'll do that again this evening, or after the lesson. But these are things that we should be doing. Magnifying Him with thanksgiving. We want to magnify His name to the world and let everyone know that He is the God of our salvation. Look at this, Psalm 86, verses 11 and 12. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. What does forever mean? That means all the time. From henceforth and on down the road. This should be part of our daily life, is giving thanks to God. Romans chapter 6, 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. This is, again, the core of our thanksgiving, is thanking God for his Son. We would have no forgiveness of sin. We would be on the highway to hell if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, who showed us the pathway to heaven. And the pathway, as we've said many times, is one man wide. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." That's a very narrow path. But he showed us that path, and because we're on the path that leads to heaven, we need to be thankful to God that we used to be slaves of sin, but now we're slaves of righteousness, which is what God wants us to do. Being thankful to God, the ministry of the service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. He provides so much for us. When we give thanks to God, we thank him for the food that we eat. And that's kind of it's a tradition. There's nowhere in Scripture that says you have to give thanks before you eat every time. But we do that. Why? Because it's an obvious form of blessing. We've obviously been blessed because we're getting ready to eat. And eating is why we're alive. If we stop eating, we die. We know that. But we give thanks for what we eat and what we drink. Those are the simple things. We think about where we live. We have a shelter over our head. We're not, you know, it just rained last week. I didn't get wet. Well, until I went to the car. But, you know, we have a shelter. We have food, shelter, and clothing. Those are the three big ones. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6 that food, shelter, and clothing, yes, we should be thankful for those things. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If we're serving the Lord with our whole heart, he'll make sure that those three things are taken care of. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be grateful for it. We should be grateful for his Son. We should be grateful for all the things he gives us. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, that is Jesus Christ. The grace of God that appeared to us in his Son. This is what we should be grateful for. We should give thanks. Ephesians 5:4 says, "And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." So many times in Paul's writings, he gave us a contrast between don't do this, do this. And here's a perfect contrast. He says, instead of having a filthy mouth and silly talk and coarse jesting, which are not fitting, you should be giving thanks. So stop doing these things and start doing this, which is to give thanks and be thankful to God. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. We pray to the Father through the Son. That's the way we do it. And what are we saying to the Father through the Son? We're saying, thank you for your Son. That's what we're doing. That's what we should be doing, giving thanks. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's that contrast again. Instead of being anxious all the time, pray. What are you going to do in your prayer? Have thanksgiving, supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Let God know what you need. Not that he doesn't already know it. But we pray not because he needs to hear it. We pray because he commanded us to do it. He wants to hear from us. I wish I could command my kids to call me. You know, the thing is, we want to hear from our children. God wants to hear from his children. He wants to hear us praying to him. Even though he knows what we need, he wants to hear us ask. And what does it say? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thank you, God, for everything you've given me. Here's what I need now. That's the way he wants us to pray. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 1:12. What's the inheritance? Heaven. That's the inheritance. He wants us to be grateful to the Father because he is qualified. What makes us qualified to share in the inheritance? Because we're children of God. God gave us the right to become children of God, and by obedience we became children of God. Now what? Now we share in the inheritance. We share heaven. And we need to be thankful to God for that. Giving thanks. Colossians 3:12-17. I know it's a long a long reading, but three times in here it tells us to be thankful. What Paul is talking about in this passage to the church in Colossae is he's contrasting the old man with the new man. So we know that we, in order to be saved, we have to be born again. Born again, that means we had a life, being born the first time, and our new life begins when we're born again, baptized into Christ. And he says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Is giving thanks important? It's mentioned three times in this one passage. Being thankful, singing with thankfulness, and giving thanks through him to God the Father. It's the least we can do, is to be grateful to God for all he's given us. Not only the food and the shelter and the clothing, but salvation through Jesus Christ. That's what we should be thankful for on a daily basis. Look at Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. How much gratitude should we have? Overflowing with gratitude. How many apples can I get on that cart? Yeah, as soon as you add one more, it overflows. That's the kind of gratitude we should have. It's overflowing. That means we have so much gratitude, we can't even contain it all in one place. It's overflowing with gratitude. That's how thankful we should be to the Lord for what he's done for us. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Well, that's how we stay alert in it, because we're thankful to God for everything he's done for us, especially his son. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If we see a passage like this and we go, it's God's will for me that I give thanks, I'm going to say it again later in the lesson, but Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven is who will enter. How do I know what the will of the Father is? God's will is that I give thanks. On judgment day, when Jesus is talking to those people who are saying, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform many miracles in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Well, he doesn't know anybody who doesn't give thanks. If we're not giving thanks, we don't know him, and he doesn't know us. It's a matter of doing his will, and he's told us to give thanks. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. This is what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings. Those are three things that are all really communication to God. We're communicating to God. But the last one mentioned is thanksgivings. So whatever we're saying to him should include thanksgivings, thanking God for our blessings. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Well, this is another thing we should be thankful for, is that God has called us into service. We're not passive Christians, we're active Christians. Passive Christians don't exist. If you're passive, you're not really a servant of the Lord. What does a servant do? A servant serves. If we call ourselves servants of God, we need to be serving God. That means we don't just kick back and say, no, I'm a Christian, But there's a lot of Christians in name only. How do I know? Matthew 7:21. It says, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Who calls Jesus Lord but people who call themselves Christians? Well, are they Christians in name only? Apparently. Yeah. They call him Lord, but they're not serving it. We don't want to be passive Christians. We want to be active Christians in serving the Lord, doing what he says. Because only those who do God's will are going to heaven. And it is his will for us to serve him and to thank him. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He's constantly praying, and he's constantly praying for Timothy, or for praying for each other. I've got a section on that coming up right here. Giving thanks for our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is something we should be doing. Thank God for his son, for sure. But thank God for his children, because that's who we are. We are children of God. If we're serving him, we are children of God. And look what Paul says. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. He's talking to the saints in Rome. He says, I thank God for you all because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. He's thanking God for his brethren. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. He's thanking God for his brethren in Corinth. First, he thanks God for his brethren in Rome, and then he thanks God for his brethren in Corinth. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, he says, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. He's thanking God for his brethren in Ephesus. What else is Paul doing? Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Paul is praying for his brethren in Philippi. Colossians 1, 3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He's praying for his brethren in Colossae. These are perfect examples for us to look at and say, well, if he's praying for his brethren, we should be praying for our brethren too. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. What do our brethren do? They encourage us to be stronger in the faith. They admonish us when we need it. They encourage us just by their attendance. When we all meet together in this building, I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged when I see other people here. You know, we know that we're not the only Christians in this town. We may be few in number, but there's a number. You know, it's not just me. I can look out and see, I've got faithful brethren in Christ Jesus. We all share the like precious faith that we have, that we have this hope that we're all going to heaven. We're all going to be in the same place. We're all the same place now, but we're all going to the same place. We have a common destination. And that's what Paul is. That's why he's giving thanks for his brethren. That's why we should. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. We're thankful to God for our brethren because we're all believers. We believe what's taught in this book. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth, left the glory of heaven to come down here and pay for my sins with his life. Not only that, but live a perfect life, sin-free, which means he showed us it can be done. He showed us it can be done. So once we're reborn, then we live a sin-free life. That doesn't mean that we can't sin. It means that we don't sin on purpose. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. He's remembering his brethren. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers. That's Philemon chapter 4, or verse 4. Philemon 4, he's talking specifically to Philemon, but he says, I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers. We know we have this wonderful access to the Father through the Son as we pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ. We can pray for anybody we want. You know, that's one of the wonderful blessings we have in Christ, is that we can include anyone in our prayers. We can include our brothers and sisters. We can also include other people that aren't our brothers and sisters in Christ and pray that they will soften their heart and be accepting of the word and that they'll obey. We need to honor him as God and give thanks. Now, this is a stern warning we find in Romans chapter 1, but you'll notice what I've got highlighted here as I get to it. Paul tells the church or the saints in Rome that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. When you read a passage like that, and he's talking specifically about the pagans living in Rome, but I mean it applies to anybody who has rejected God. Anybody who has said, no, my think so is much more important than what this old ancient book says. They said, no, my opinion is much more important than what I read in the scriptures. But the part that I highlighted here, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Giving thanks is the sign of a godly person. But look up there in the first part of this passage, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Only the ungodly and the unrighteous refuse to give thanks. That's really what that's saying about giving thanks. Who's not giving thanks? The ungodly and the unrighteous. So if I'm not giving thanks, what does that make me? It makes me ungodly and unrighteous. I pray to God because he's commanded me to pray to him. I give thanks to God because he's commanded me to give thanks to him. But beyond that, this isn't just a book of commands. This is the book of promises. The promise of God's love. We obey God. We give thanks to God because of his love. Not just the command. The commands, yes, for sure, we obey his commands. But remember what Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John 14:15. They go hand in hand. We obey the commands of God because we love him. Why do we love him? Because he loved us first. How much did he love us? He sacrificed his son on the cross to save us. That's how much he loved us. So, yeah, we need to honor him as God. And when we give thanks to God, we are honoring him as God. We need to give thanks for his kingdom. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29 says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Well, there's the long and the short of it, so to speak. God is the creator of all things. God is also the destroyer of all things. And you can read about that in 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, Genesis 1:1 tells us how he created everything, and 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 3 tells us how he's going to destroy all things. But in between there, he has offered us his son to forgive us of our sins. And we need to be grateful for that because we are part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You remember the very first message of John the Baptist was, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then shortly thereafter, Jesus came with his first message. And what was it? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was preaching the kingdom. Well, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is the church. We live in the kingdom. And this kingdom will have no end. This kingdom that Jesus Christ is the king, and he's sitting on the throne right now, and he rules in his kingdom, and that kingdom will have no end. We need to be grateful for a kingdom that has no end, that we're a part of. And that's what he's telling us right here. And later on in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. What is our sacrifice to God? our sacrifices, our praise to Him. And how does our praise come out? It comes out in gratitude. We praise God because we thank Him for all things. We thank Him for His creation, for making me a part of His creation, and for including me in His plan for salvation. You know, that's why we're thankful to God. We give thanks, looking beyond this life. Revelation 4, 9 through 11 gives us a glimpse into the future. When the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created." What we notice in this passage is that we give glory and honor and thanks to God Almighty because He's the only one worthy. He is worthy of our thanks. He's worthy of glory and honor and our thanks to Him. He is worthy. Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created. Look at Revelation 7, verses 11 through 12. "And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Even the angels give Him thanks. We're not better than the angels. We need to give Him thanks as well. Revelation 11, 15 through 17. "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders who sit on the thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give You thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because You have taken Your great power and have begun to reign.'" We need to be thankful to God for the kingdom of God and that He allowed us in. Not only allowed us in, but planned for us to come in. And what that plan went back to the beginning of time. You know, Genesis 3:15, or the very first time that we have any promise that there will be redemption. And where does that redemption come? It comes in the blood of Christ. And we need to be grateful for that. We need to be thankful to God for the victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 57. Paul tells the church in Corinth, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Ultimately, that is the bottom line. We thank God for the victory we have over sin. Sin is the enemy. The devil is alive and well. And he's throwing stumbling blocks in our way every single day. He's throwing temptations in our way every single day. But what do we have? We have victory in Christ. He helps us to overcome the temptations. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. He says, "Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We put that verse next to this verse and we say, judgment day has come. If I want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be recompensed for my deeds in the body to what I've, according to what I've done, whether good or bad, I want to make sure that what I've done has been good. And what does the Lord require of me? To give thanks, to be thankful, to be grateful for all that He's given me. That is the lesson. As we approach Thanksgiving Day, the national holiday, but we understand that every day is really Thanksgiving Day. Let's consider these verses that, you know, we're just told over and over and over and over in Scripture that we need to be grateful, and we need to do that every day of our lives. God's plan of salvation includes hearing the Word of God. James 1:21 says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves." Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." In order to be saved, we need to hear the word of God first, and then we need to believe what we've read. We need to believe what we've heard. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." John 8:24, Jesus talking said, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that He came here to save us from our sins. We need to repent of those sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And we're told in Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead." We need to repent of sins because God told us to do that. What does repent mean? It means turn. 180 degrees. It means turn completely opposite. If we're living our lives in sin, we need to stop living our lives in sin and start living our lives for Him. We need to confess His name before men. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." And we read in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. We see that confession is a part of our salvation. Confession leads us to be obedient believers. Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Jesus taught that we need to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, as Peter also preached in Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That gift of the Holy Spirit is told what it is in Romans chapter 6:23. It's everlasting life. If you want everlasting life, you need to do what Jesus said, and that is to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And we need to remain obedient. Matthew 7:21, I told you I'd get to it again. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven is who will enter." That means your ticket's not punched by calling yourself a Christian. You need to do the will of the Father. That's what the Son said. God the Son said, obey God the Father. Do His will. And of course, His will is to believe His Son and what He said. And what He said is to be baptized and to remain obedient. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, there's a warning. And he's talking to his brethren in Christ. He says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Is it possible to fall away? If it wasn't, the Hebrew writer wouldn't have said that. It is possible to fall away, and how do we keep from falling away? Stand firm in the faith. That's how we do that. If there's anyone here this morning who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you need to repent of your sins, you need to confess Jesus as Lord, you can do that today, and you can be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you can be saved. If there's somebody in this audience who has done that, and you have so sinned against the Lord that you need to be forgiven, you need to repent. That's between you and Him. You need to repent of your sins, and you need to ask Him to forgive you. If you'd like to ask your brethren to help you and to pray for you and with you, that we can do that, please let that be known as we stand and as we sing this song.